Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Time for a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM. And 7:50 a.m. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson. We're back in the studio, and it feels like it's been forever since we've been in studio because we've had the high school and junior college championship tournaments. Wow, basketball season's a grind, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a grind. It's a lot of fun, though, and looking forward to, you know, settling down and getting to baseball. It's baseball time.
It is baseball time, and that's what we're going to focus on heavily on the show today. Two local segments coming your way. We're going to be joined by Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon Dino Baseball Squad. That'll be next segment. And then right after that, over the phone, we're going to catch up with Rob Smith, who's a first-year coach with Emory High School. Now, both of those teams will open up the season tomorrow. Carbon will be at home taking on Springville at USU Eastern. Emory on the flip side, they are going to be on the road taking on Gunnison. So we're going to, again, talk to both coaches. That'll be over the next couple of segments here on the show. I also want to focus a little bit on the NFL today because the Combine is wrapping up. I'll be honest with you. The Combine is interesting. I don't put a lot of stock in it, but it is interesting.
Yeah, it's something to talk about, I guess. Like you said, it's interesting. I don't take a lot of stock out of it, but it's something to talk about because people make a big deal out of these 40 times and stuff. So,
Look, as far as 40 times go, to me, I'm always more impressed when I see like a defensive lineman or like a 4.6 or a 4.7. That impresses me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane. You know, like a running back run a 4.3 40, okay? That impresses me. When a wide receiver who stands 5'9", 5'10", runs a 4.3, okay?
He should.
Yeah. Right. So I like to pay more attention to the linemen 40 times, the linebackers. Defensively, to me, it's always more important 40 times. Look, if you're a defensive back, if you're a safety, to me, it's more important than at the wideout spot. Yeah, you know, I don't know. And looking at the bench press in that, it's interesting to see the linemen. Skill position players, okay, so what? As far as quarterbacks go, and we can talk about individuals that may have hurt their draft stock, Josh Rosen did not look all that great, did he?
He didn't, and Sam Darnold didn't throw, waiting for his pro day, so that kind of hurts his stock a little bit, and Josh Allen of Wyoming came out the big winner.
Is he really going to be the number one quarterback taken in this draft?
I don't think so, but there's a lot of fire towards Cleveland taking him.
There is. A lot of comparisons in arm strength to Jamarcus Russell. Arm strength. Not character traits. Arm strength. That's where the comparison, I think, stops with Jamarcus Russell. But remember, Russell was the number one overall pick because he torched a horrible Notre Dame secondary, could throw the ball 55 yards off his butt, and had the physical intangibles. That's where the comparisons stop with Allen. I think he may end up being the number one quarterback taken of this draft. I think that scouts take more stock into the combine, or teams take more into the combine than we believe. You know, we've had ex-coaches on the show, and they've told me it's a farce. I think the more we get into analytics, it separates players from one another. And there's always going to be someone that's an exception to the rule. Anytime you talk about combine numbers, people say, well, what about Tom Brady? Okay, that's one instance. Okay, fine. But I think in the analytical world that we live in, teams, scouts, and coaches, today's coaches, put a lot more into the combine than we think.
They do. It's one of those things that they take very seriously. So you're right. The smoke and the fire right now heading towards Cleveland is Josh Allen is the number one pick in the draft going to Cleveland. So we'll see.
Look, and we have plenty of time to talk about this because the draft is still over a month away. I want to see Cleveland go Saquon Barkley number one. And I think, again, talking about combine results, he did enough to prove that he's worthy of being the number one pick. And if you're Cleveland, you probably don't want to miss on that. I really want to see Bradley Chubb in a Cleveland Brown uniform.
Yeah.
You put him opposite of Myles Garrett. Oh, my goodness.
Because I don't necessarily think that Cleveland really needs a quarterback because they have one on the roster in DeShone Kizer that, yes, he struggled, but you took this guy in the second round. So you really don't need a quarterback, and I'm with you. If you can somehow get, like, Barkley and Bradley Chubb, whew.
I think that's a terrific draft for the Cleveland Browns. Plenty of time to talk about that. Let's look at some of the national sports headlines. Now, over the weekend, we had a major boxing match which featured Deontay Wilder, who is now 40-0 as a heavyweight, an American heavyweight, a champion. Looks like he's on a collision course to go toe-to-toe with Anthony Joshua, the top heavyweight in the game, who's from the UK. Now, Joshua's going to fight on the 31st. Wilder survived a crazy fight against Ortiz over the weekend. But I still believe the main fight that everybody wants to see outside of Wilder and Joshua, it's Canelo Alvarez and Triple G, Gennady Golovkin. It didn't hit a snag, but another storyline has been added to it. Canelo Alvarez, who's training for this rematch with Golovkin, tested positive for the banned substance, clenbuterol. This is not good. Now, these two are scheduled to fight on May 5th at T-Mobile Arena. It's a rematch, and what people said was a controversial first meeting, it wasn't. I thought it was a draw. I was completely fine with it. I know people don't like draws, unless we're talking soccer, maybe even your sport, hockey. I don't know. Do people like ties in hockey?
No, and that's why we got rid of them.
Okay, so it's stupid.
Yeah, it's dumb.
But it worked in boxing, because that fight was a draw. Anyways, part of the deal for the first fight, as well as for the rematch, both boxers agreed to be randomly tested by VADA, the Voluntary Anti-Doping Association. Alvarez is training right now in Mexico. He provided urine samples on February 17th and 20th, and both tests came back positive for trace amounts of clenbuterol. Now, this is according to a letter from VADA President Margaret Goodman. Sent the letters to everyone involved Monday. ESPN obtained those letters and took some of the excerpts out of it. Clenbuterol has shown up in the drug test for many Mexican athletes in recent years because of meat contamination in the country. Alvarez is saying meat contamination is also what caused his positive test. I understand in the world of sports, you are immediately guilty until proven innocent when you are talking about performance-enhancing drugs. I get that. Look no further than baseball. You are guilty until proven innocent. Do you buy Canelo Alvarez saying that, yeah, this is all because of meat contamination, when we know that Mexican athletes in the past have tested positive for the same exact reason due to meat contamination? Do you buy it?
I'm feeling good on a Monday, and I'm going to take his word for it. So, yes, I'm going to say that I believe him.
He usually does the bulk of his training in the United States, and they said they're immediately moving his camp here. So it looks like the fight is still on. This isn't going to derail the fight. Yes, I'm glad. To me, if I had a pound-for-pound list, Canelo's top five.
Me too.
He's top five right now on my pound-for-pound list. I love Canelo Alvarez. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. He said he was embarrassed by the positive test, but based on what has happened in the past, I tend to agree with him. And I don't think at this stage in his career he would do anything to jeopardize the prime of his career.
He's not going to take that risk.
I don't think he is at this stage in his career. Now, if we're talking about a 36 or 37-year-old Canelo Alvarez, okay, you know what? Maybe I'm not going to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. He's in the prime of his career. He's preparing for what is, at this point in time, the biggest fight in his career. I'm not buying. I agree with it. I'm going to take his word and say, yeah, you know, this was probably an accident. In fact, there's so much behind it. There's so much evidence that would state that, yes, this is what happened, that the fight's not in jeopardy. Right, because if you're, and more time will come, time is going to tell on this, but if you're Triple G, wouldn't you feel off stepping in the ring with a guy who maybe is doping? That's what I'm saying. I probably agree with Canelo. He's tested clean for how many years? Come on.
Yeah, I'm going to take his word for it.
So I think it's just a non-story.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that happened, so we'll move on for it, and we get the fight, and that's all I care about.
I'm hoping this doesn't derail the fight.
Yeah.
Let's move over to the NFL. Le'Veon Bell and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, they haven't necessarily came to an agreement, but the Steelers have informed Bell that they will apply the franchise tag to him for the second consecutive year, since they more than likely aren't going to get a deal done by tomorrow's deadline.
I wouldn't lock this guy up long term and tie a bunch of money up into him because, you know, Ben Roethlisberger's older, 36 years old, and once he moves on, do you want to be tied into a lot of money long term with Le'Veon Bell?
He said he's going to contemplate retirement. Well, he had to play on another team.
Then leave.
Said he wasn't bluffing.
Then retire.
He's 26 years old. Confirmed last year that he turned down a contract worth $42 million over the first 3 years. That's an average of, I don't know, what, $13 million? $13.5 million, something
like that? And I think that's fair value.
Over the life of the deal? Yeah, I think so. He said his mom even wanted him to sign the deal, and he almost did. That's a fair deal to me. But he plans on sticking to a number that he won't reveal on what he's asking for. I don't think the Steelers ever give it to him.
I wouldn't if I was Pittsburgh, and this is a franchise that doesn't mess around. They're smart, and they'll set their number, and if he doesn't like it, then if Pittsburgh, they move on then. I would move on.
Okay, so and I want to get your opinion on Aaron Donald, because you and I have had the conversation about Donald. Remember, he missed all of preseason last year, held out, wants to be the highest-paid player, the defensive player in NFL history. Should the Rams pay Aaron Donald?
Yes, because I think he is the...
Okay, you think he's worth it?
I think he's worth it.
So let me throw this at you as far as Le'Veon Bell. He's putting up more yards per game than any NFL player from 1970 to now as far as average yards per scrimmage, okay? He plays every down. He's not a third back. He's not one of those guys that you take off the field on third down. He is an every down back. And I'll tell you, he is probably the elite playmaker in the NFL. You don't think that he's worth what he's asking for, but Aaron Donald is. Give me your reasoning behind it.
Because I think Pittsburgh has other areas where they need to spend money to improve, and if you give him this contract, then what's Antonio Brown's contract like when that comes up? Because I think Antonio Brown is their best player and most important player.
I think that Aaron Donald's game will age better than Le'Veon Bell because he's not taking the punishment play in and play out that Le'Veon Bell is taking.
Yeah, and Le'Veon Bell is known to do dumb things.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you.
I don't trust that guy.
I'm not going to disagree with you at all there. I agree with you. But, you know, to me, I think Pittsburgh's at a stage where pay him or get rid of him.
And this is the drama and the nonsense that goes on with the Steelers, where they're the most talented team in the league. And
offensively, no doubt.
Yeah, and this stuff happens. And this team disappoints because they should have at least made one Super Bowl in the last 4 or 5 years with that roster.
Talk NBA here for just a moment before we close out the intro to the show here. We'll look at the schedule tonight. The Utah Jazz are back in action at home. They'll take on the Orlando Magic. 7 p.m. start time right here on KOAL. The Jazz are trying to march down a playoff spot. You and I had this discussion about a month ago. I said the Jazz would be in the playoffs. You said no. I did not anticipate New Orleans playing to the level that they are playing at without DeMarcus Cousins. And now we get down to the final, 23, 22 games of the season. It's going to be tough for Utah to get in. But this is a very winnable game, and as far as games like this go from here on out, you have to pick up wins here.
And they're another team that they're chasing, the Portland Trail Blazers. I didn't
playing great.
Yeah, I don't think anybody saw Portland playing this well.
I didn't.
This late into the season. So yeah, the Jazz important to pick up these wins against these teams that aren't very good.
Jazz Magic tonight, 7 p.m. start time there. 5 o'clock hour, we get Detroit at Cleveland. The Bucks will travel to take on the Pacers. The Heat play host to the Suns. 6 o'clock, Boston is at Chicago. Memphis at the struggling San Antonio Spurs. She's not playing great basketball right now. And then in the nightcap, Portland at L.A. Can the Lakers be a player in the playoff chase down the stretch here? We know it's the Clippers and the Jazz, but the Lakers are not that far back. What are they, 6 back of the final playoff spot right now? They've played great basketball. They've won a season-high 5 games. They've already eclipsed last year's total. They play the Jazz twice. I believe they play Portland twice down the stretch as well. I don't know if the Lakers get in, but I think they're going to be major players in keeping someone from getting into the playoffs. I think they've reached that point.
Before the season, I thought the Lakers could win 40 games, and I still think that this team actually had... They had one bad stretch in December where they had a lot of injuries. They lost, 11 out of 13 games. If it wasn't for that bad stretch, they'd be right up towards the top with the Clippers and the Jazz battling for that 8th spot.
Can they win 12? You think they get to 40 wins?
I think they do. The way they're playing now, the way that this team is gelling, coming together, Lonzo Ball on Saturday.
Boy, he's no good. Come on.
Yeah, he can't shoot. He only shot, 60% from the 3-point line and clutch against San Antonio. So I think the Lakers can get to 40.
Lonzo Ball. People don't talk about Lonzo Ball when he's succeeding.
They do not like that he is succeeding.
They don't. They don't like it. People have allowed their hatred for his father to warp their view on what he is as a player. And what he is a damn good player.
The
and
guy can play ball.
Yeah. He can.
And I don't want to hear any more crap that he can't shoot. No more.
He's played great. We got a break for just a moment. Again, we have a lot of local baseball talk coming up. We're going to talk to Coach Jeff Sinceneris and Coach Rob Smith, Kerbin and Emery. Plus, we'll give you the local sports recap. It's all straight ahead here on this Monday edition of the show.
I enjoy working with kids. I want to be a teacher, but don't know where to start. If this sounds like you, then USU Eastern's bachelor's degree in education may be the right path for you. A bachelor's degree can generally be completed with 2 additional years of study following the completion of an Associates of Science or Associates of Arts degree. USU Eastern has the lowest tuition in the state and many financial aid options available. For more information, call 613-5000. USU Eastern. Take on new heights.
Hi, this is Janice Pitchforth. I am a family nurse practitioner joining Pinetop Medical. I'm very excited to be joining this growing team. I've been practicing as a nurse for 15 years. 10 of the last were spent right here in our community working at Castleview Hospital. I've recently graduated from the University of South Alabama with my family nurse practitioner degree. My focus at Pinetop Medical will be on women's and children's health as well as family practice. I am now accepting appointments. To schedule, please call 637-5690. Again, that number is 637-5690.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just got invited to the prom. Do you A, meet her date?
I need to see your past date report cards, your driver's license, a list of references, and this hair sample.
B, help her pick out a dress.
Don't you just love the long sleeves and turtleneck on this pantsuit?
Ugh.
C, attend the prom undercover.
Mom, what are you doing here?
I'm not Mom. I'm Calvin, the new kid at school.
Or D, capture her big moment.
Let's take a photo of you two. I'm in the middle.
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And the high school basketball season officially came to a close on Friday as the Pinnacle Panthers suffered a 68-34 loss to Rich in the 1A semifinals of the consolation bracket at Richfield High School. Pinnacle trailed early, 17-6 at the end of the first quarter, and never recovered, losing the next three as their season came to an end. Despite the setback, it was Logan Ellington providing a team-best 10 points for the Panthers. Isaiah Wilstead finished with 9, and Dalton Cook scored 6. The tournament run was definitely successful for Pinnacle. After losing their opening round contest to Panguitch, they managed to pick up a victory over Water Canyon. That extended the season to Friday, where the team eventually lost to Rich. Pinnacle's final record for the season is 11-13, and again, they finished 4th in the consolation bracket. We move over to junior college basketball, and the USU Eastern season came to a close for both the men and the women on Friday, as they both dropped games in the Scenic West Athletic Conference tournament, both in the semifinals. The men took the court first on Friday, and despite holding a 6-point lead with 5 minutes to play in the game, they dropped a close one, 81-74 to CSI. In this contest, the men were led by Rafael Montero. The sophomore scored 26 points and hauled in 11 rebounds while shooting an efficient 10 of 15 from the field. Krista Torres chipped in with 15 points. Nico Rojas finished with 12, and Nima Namdar scored 11. The loss against CSI was the 4th this year for the USU Eastern Eagles, and that brings the season to a close. Also, the USU Eastern women's squad suffered a loss despite playing relatively close with the eventual conference champions, the Salt Lake Community College Bruins. The Lady Eagles held a lead at the end of the first quarter, and they were within striking distance in the third quarter, but ultimately fell 71-60. The Lady Eagles reached the semifinals after defeating Colorado Northwestern on Thursday in blowout fashion. The Salt Lake Community College Bruins took home the conference championship on both the men and the women's side. The men's ended in dramatic fashion as Salt Lake converted a 3-point field goal at the end of regulation to top CSI. Now we stick with USU Eastern Athletics, but we're going to move away from the basketball court and congratulate the USU Eastern Spirit Squad, which placed first at a national competition in California. USU Eastern's dance team plays first in hip-hop and second in dance at the United Spirit Association College Championships in the College Expo at the Anaheim Convention Center in California. This was last weekend. Emmett the Eagle plays second overall in the mascot category. Under the direction of Brandy Taylor Johansson, who was in her second year at the helm of Eastern Spirit Squad, 15 students from the co-ed cheer squad and 12 students from the dance team, plus the mascot, were judged in their respective categories during the two-day competition, which took place on February 24th and 25th. The Eagle dancers beat Sacramento City College to take first in the two-year hip-hop dance routine. They also placed second in the two-year college open dance behind Orange Coast College. The routines were judged on choreography, execution, and performance. And this past weekend closed out all of the winter sports here locally, which means we are now gearing up for the spring sports season, which will officially begin today for the Emory Spartan boys soccer team. They will travel on the road to meet Leighton Christian. Start time for today's game is set for 3:30 p.m. It'll be the first of many games this week for the Emory soccer squad. The team will return to the field on Wednesday as they take on Gunnison, and then they'll travel Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to a tournament in St. George. More of the spring sports season will begin tomorrow as baseball and softball open up the year. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Are you enjoying this program? Because if you are, quite possibly so are your potential customers. Radio is the only true mobile medium. In the car, at work, and at play, radio is there. The companion and the advertising force your customers take with them wherever they go. With radio advertising, you are front and center in the listener's attention span when your ad's on the air. Keep enjoying this program and let your business reap the rewards too by becoming a sponsor. For more information, call our station, 637-1167.
Hello, this is Dr. Blake Hillstead from Castle Valley Orthodontics. We are a state-of-the-art orthodontic office specializing in braces and Invisalign for children, teenagers, and adults. We provide complimentary consultations to help you achieve the best smile possible. We accept most insurance plans in Carbon and Emory counties and also accept all Medicaid insurance plans. In addition, we offer flexible in-house financing at 0% interest to make orthodontic treatment fit within any budget. Call for a free consultation with me, Dr. Blake Hillstead, at 435-637-2222.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the
play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
We're back on Drive Time Sports, and today on the Coach's Corner, we're going to talk a lot of high school baseball. We're gearing up for the start of the baseball season, which will actually take place tomorrow. Both Carbon and Emory are going to be in action, and we're going to talk to Emory coach Rob Smith next segment. This segment, though, we're going to talk to Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon High School baseball squad. He's joining us right now in the studio. Coach, it's always a pleasure, so I appreciate the time today.
Oh, appreciate you squeezing me in, Jordan. Thanks.
Oh, absolutely. It's here. You and I were just talking a second ago. There really is no break between winter and spring sports. I mean, we end winter, we go right into spring, and you guys open up the season tomorrow. It's that quick.
Yeah, they overlap. I mean, you just had the, you know, 4A, 5A, 6A boys title settled on Saturday, and they, you know, I know they've got some games that'll open up tomorrow also. We've at least had a week since basketball ended at the 3A level. But, yeah, no time to relax. We had a couple days of tryouts, a couple practices so far. And like you said, we open up tomorrow actually here at USU Eastern's field against Springville.
Yeah, that game was originally scheduled to be on the road, but you guys have been able to maneuver things. That's good because looking at the schedule, if this was a road game, you guys wouldn't play at home until March 15th, and it doesn't sound like it's that far off, but there's a lot of baseball between tomorrow and March 15th.
Yeah, it's tough with the weather, you know, so I always try and hold those first couple weeks of the season open because you just never know what kind of shape our field is going to be in here and whatnot, and that was the problem with tomorrow. Springville has gotten a lot more snow than we have, and so this will be the second year in a row we've actually had to push that game to down here. Which is good for us. Like you said, at least we get a home game before we head off to St. George for the weekend. And I know even when we come back, we've got some more road games. And, you know, it is good to at least get one here at home in the next few weeks before we do open up at home, you know, for good.
Let's talk about the makeup of the team. You had mentioned to me off air that you've kept 38 kids this go around, which is a large number, but there is a new pitch count rule, which I'm sure we can talk about that as well. I'm sure that kind of played hand in hand as to why you kept so many kids.
Yeah, you know, the pitch count rule, we had it in effect last year, and I think we all kind of seen the effects of that rule, you know, play a big part, especially come into the season when you got into state tournament play. You know, I know we had some number fours and number fives thrown in state championship games last year, which, you know, kind of got ugly a little bit in the semifinals and finals of the 3A tournament. But, you know, I did keep 38. It's the same number I kept last year, which when you look at it, it's a lot, but maybe not a lot when you have a varsity JV sophomore and freshman team. We will try and play just some straight freshman games also. And so 38 kids is, you know, it's a good number, hopefully, to work with. You're always trying to, you know, make your program better. I think we kept 10 freshmen this year. So to get those guys some time is going to be good. We do have, I believe, 10 seniors and 11 juniors, or 10 and 10 maybe is what it ended up being. And so, you know, 20 kids at the varsity JV level is going to be a good bunch. And I know the majority of those kids, I think at least 12 of those kids will see time on the mound for us, so that's a positive thing. But, you know, overall, it just makes practice a little more difficult with that number. But, you know, come game times and what we're doing, I think it's going to work out just fine.
Let's talk about some of the returners, Coach. Who's going to play a big impact on this year's team?
Well, obviously, Zach Bradley played a big impact on our pitching staff last year, and he'll be back as a senior this year. Adrian Sanchez really came on at the end of last year and pitched very well for us in the state tournament and had a good summer campaign for us. And he's a junior this year who, you know, he'll be back on the mound. Cody Lowe seems like he's been there forever. It's a kid that seen varsity time as a freshman, started as a sophomore, and obviously last year. And once again, he'll see time on the mound for us as well. And we look to, you know, have him carry the load for us on the offensive side of things. And Ty Anderson's another kid coming back who started just about every game for us last year on the infield. You know, we've got a lot of good players coming back, a big group of seniors like I talked about who have all contributed in the last couple of years at the varsity level for us, and then even the juniors that are coming back. Anthony Jones seen substantial amount of time at the end of the year last year catching for us and then caught all summer. So, you know, I feel really comfortable about that position too. And so I'm excited about the group we have coming back. Triton Abeda missed all last year due to an injury that he received in wrestling. And, you know, he had a great wrestling season this year. I think he ended up fourth in the state in his weight class, which was awesome for him. And, you know, he looks to be healthy, and he's going to get back on the mound for us and see some time on the infield. So, you know, I'm excited. We talk about it every year. You know, it just comes down to putting runs on the board. And every year it comes down to whether you swing the bats when it's time. And I feel good about the defense and the pitching staff we'll put on the field. And once again, it just comes down to putting the ball in play and scoring some runs, and we'll see how that plays out.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbondino Baseball Squad. You talk about scoring runs, and you know, that's something that I know you're going to see the offense continue to evolve throughout the year, Coach, but in the early going, you know, we can talk about this week of action, the game against Springville tomorrow, and then traveling to the Pizza Hut Classic. From an offensive standpoint, I'm sure that all you can ask for is quality at bats, right? I mean, that's how you get things rolling offensively in the early part of the season, quality at bats.
Yeah, and you mentioned quality at bats, and those can be, you know, numerous ways. I mean, you could have a strikeout and still have it be a quality at bat as long as the guy's seeing a lot of pitches, you know, fouling some balls off. Obviously, we'd like to put the ball in play and not have strikeouts, but, you know, it is a quality at bat type of deal. That's going to be a big thing all year long. We base a lot of what we do off those quality at bats. Are we moving runners around? You know, are we bunting them around? Are we hitting run? What are we doing with them? You know, so early in the year, you know, I want our guys to be aggressive within the zone, obviously, and then once, you know, they're starting to see a lot more pitches, then we can be a little bit more, you know, picky about the pitch that we're looking for. But I really want their focus this week to be really aggressive at the plate. I don't want us going up and taking a strike or two before we decide we're going to swing a bat. And that's kind of something we've done the last couple of years. We've tried to get it through their heads that we don't want to do that, but for some reason we take a lot of pitches early in the year, and I hope this year is a change in that, because we've really been talking to them about being aggressive. And you know, obviously don't want to go up and swing at a lot of bad pitches, pitches in the dirt or whatever it is. But, you know, early in the season, you're going to see a lot of pitchers, I think, just trying to find the strike zone and throw strikes, not be real finesse pitchers at this point in time in the season and just get the ball over the plate. And so as hitters, you know, we need to be looking for that first good pitch we see and jumping all over something. And like you said, just having quality at bats for the next few weeks.
You guys do have 2 weeks before you actually open up region play. That'll be against Providence Hall on March 20th. As far as the region schedule goes, we've gone away from the three region games, right? I mean, we only play each other twice now.
Yeah, just, you know, we go home and away or whatever it is. You know, with the number of teams in our region, that's something we had to do. I believe we've got seven teams in our region now. So, you know, playing 12 league games just makes it tough. I mean, if you look when we start region play the 20th of this month, that's a week earlier than normal. And our state tournament starts a week earlier than normal. So we're trying to squeeze all that in into a shorter amount of time this year. I do have some, you know, non-league games scattered out throughout the rest of the schedule. We won't get them all in before region play starts. I think we've got a few of them that are right during the middle of the season, too, that we got scheduled. And I'm really happy about our non-region schedule, too. When you look at it, we've got some really good programs scheduled. Salem Hills, you know, Mountain View, Provo. You know, I think at the end of the year we have Desert Hills coming here the week before the state tournament. So we've got some really quality schools that we're going to face. We're going down to a tournament, like you mentioned, St. George, where we're going to see, you know, all bigger schools now. That all those schools have moved up to the 4A ranks, Dixie, Payson, and Judge Memorial. And then we're going to go to another tournament in a few weeks out in San Juan where, you know, I know we're going to see some quality teams with Grand being included in that group. So I'm really happy about our schedule. And like I've always told the kids, you know, we're working towards that state tournament. We're not winning a championship today or tomorrow, but we're working towards it. And hopefully, you know, come second, third week of May, that's where we're at.
So only playing two region games and not playing doubleheaders, even with the newer, I guess we can say, pitch count rules that we have here throughout the state. Does that matter at all where you get 3 days or 2 days in between games against an opponent? That changes the dynamic a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely going to change it for us this year compared to last year where we were playing a single and a double and having three games during the week. You know, that really made, you know, you really had to be on your toes with your pitch count and what you were doing with your pitchers. And, you know, going a Tuesday, Friday setup, you know, it does give you a few days rest. So you might be able to let that pitcher go a few more pitches than you would have last year. What it really comes down to, though, is the end of the year when the state tournament rolls around, you're back in that situation where you're playing a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the second week of a state tournament, and you got to really see how your pitching lays out when that time comes around. So developing these guys right now is really big for us. When you look at our schedule, there are a lot of weeks where we have three games in a week because I've thrown in a non-league game. So we still have that pitch count that's going to affect us during the week because, you know, when you're playing against some of these schools, like I mentioned at Salem Hills and whatnot, I mean, you need to have quality guys on the mound. I mean, guys that are going to keep you in the ball game. You know, we're looking to win every one of those games, not just put them on our schedule and say we played them. So, you know, you're still going to have to keep an eye on your pitch count. Obviously, your league games are the most important thing. But those outer league games, you know, non-league games right now, they're big for us too because that's where we're going to keep developing and working on things. And so, you know, I look at every one of our games as the most important thing that we have coming up. And so we'll play it by ear and see how it comes out.
We'll end with this, Coach. The assistants that you're going to have in the dugout with you this year. Last time we had you were in the process of hiring some of those assistants. Now on the eve of the season opener, I'm sure that's set.
Yeah. At the varsity level, Kyle Beta's back. He's been helping me for a few years now. Good to get him back. A familiar face with Brett Bennett, who was actually Carbon High's head coach four or five years ago now. He took over for Coach Moner when he left and was the head coach for 1 year before I took over. It's good to get Brett back out there. You know, so we got a lot of experience at our varsity level coaching staff. Taylan Abeda and Bo Rich are going to round out my younger group. Taylan's back for a second year helping out, and Bo Rich just coming off of a coaching season at Helper with basketball. And the thing about it, all these guys at one time or another have all played for me and been in my system, you know, kind of dating how old I'm getting. But it's nice to have guys that want to come back, want to give back and help coach, and they all know my system. They all know what to expect from me. And I feel comfortable at any day if I'm, you know, happen to not be there that they're doing the right thing and teaching these guys, you know, what we need to move forward. One other thing I do want to touch base. We are going a little bit earlier this year with our youth camp, something I need to get you the information for. But that youth camp is going to be Wednesday, March 14th. We're going to run it on a weekday this year to see if we can't make sure we get all of the Little League teams out. I know we've been missing some that play a lot of travel ball when we've been running it on Saturdays. But we're going to be out in Helper from 4 to 6 p.m. on Wednesday, March 14th. And basically that's for kids ages, you know, 6, 7, 8, all the way up to 12. We're not going to run a Babe Ruth age group this year. It's kind of been one that the last few years we're not getting a lot of participation. But we would love to get as many of the Cal Ripken kids out from all over the county that we can, have them enjoy a couple hours with us and let us show them some drills and some things that we're doing. I do want everyone to know that the coaches are more than welcome from these age groups to come and see some of the drills that we do and ask any questions, and I'd love to help them out as much as I can. So, you know, hopefully Wednesday, March 14th is a great day for weather, and it's a great day for Carbon Baseball so we can run our camp, and I'll get that information to you, Jordan, so we can get on the website.
Looking forward to it. Coach, I appreciate you making time, stopping by today. Best of luck against Springville, and again this weekend as you guys travel to St. George, and hopefully we can catch up again next week.
Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it.
All right, we got a break for just a moment. Again, we'll continue on with the high school baseball talk. When we return, we'll talk with Emory High School coach Rob Smith.
At Emory Medical Center, patients are like family. They offer the most comprehensive care around, including on-site x-rays and lab work, helping you get quality health care at one convenient location. Emory Medical now has extended hours to better serve you. Open Monday through Thursday, 7 a.m. until 7 p.m., and Fridays, 7 till 5. To make an appointment with one of the trusted providers, please call 381-2305. Emory Medical Center, your friends, your neighbors, your providers.
There's a mystery afoot, the mystery of missing tax deductions. H&R Block Tax Pros with IBM Watson are the best private eyes around. Come in today or make an appointment at hrblock.com. Maximum refund guaranteed.
Experts train Watson to consume large volumes of data. Performance improves over time. If you find an H&R Block error on your return that entitles you to a larger refund, we'll fund your fee for that return and file an amended return at no extra charge. See hrblock.com/guarantees for details.
Stop into your local H&R Block tax office at 33 East Main Street in Price. Make an appointment today by calling 637-4110. H&R Block. Never settle for less.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids. For more information, call 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org.
This just in, a new all-purpose cleaner has been discovered that will get rid of all your messes without you having to lift a finger. Interested? It's called We Mean Clean. That's right, We Mean Clean is the official all-purpose cleaner of choice for busy moms everywhere. Kim and her team of experts will have your house shining from top to bottom, and all you have to do is pick up the phone. Weekly, bi-weekly, and monthly schedules are available. Give Kim a call today at 650-1322. Side effects may include more free time, less irritability, and increased energy.
Hi, this is Joe Peterson, the Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'm here to brag about an amazing student we have representing USU Eastern. Chandler Vincent is a welding student here at USU Eastern. He recently flew to Huntsville, Alabama to compete in the U.S. Open Welding Trials. After 4 days of nonstop welding, Chandler was named the USA WorldSkills Welding Champion. With this title, Chandler won $40,000 in tools and scholarships from the American Welding Society. Congratulations, Chandler. For more stories about the incredible students that we have here at USU Eastern, see our website, usueastern.edu.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We'll continue on our local baseball coverage. Again, there's really no break. You go right from winter sports right into spring sports. Soccer, again, for Emory High School underway right now. Tomorrow, the Emory baseball team will travel on the road to take on the Gunnison Bulldogs. And joining us right now over the phone, we have first-year manager Rob Smith. Coach, a pleasure as always to get you on the show. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Definitely, Coach, definitely. I know it's an exciting time. We're gearing up for your first action as manager of the Emory baseball team. You guys will take the field tomorrow against Gunnison, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But first off, how'd the offseason go? Now that you have the team, everything's in place, and you're gearing up for the game tomorrow, how has everything gone up to this point?
It's gone pretty smooth. We've mostly been doing some fundraising, trying to get funds ready for the season. Those went smoother than expected, so happy with that.
As far as the team goes, when you had tryouts, I know tryouts were, two weeks ago, so it wasn't that long ago you were gearing up to select the team that you were going to take into action this year. What was the turnout like this year for tryouts?
We have about 35 kids. The turnout was pretty good. I was happy with it. We just did cuts last week, Monday and Tuesday. Then we had two practices, Wednesday and Thursday. Unfortunately, we didn't get a practice Friday because of prom, but it's been good with that.
As far as the makeup of this year's team, Coach, who are some of the kids that you're going to rely heavily on? I know we have some returners from last year's team that did encounter a little bit of success at the state championship tournament. But with that being said, who are some of the kids that you'll rely heavily on this year?
Our shortstop and pitcher, Easton Gordon, he's returning from last year. He did win a state championship as a freshman as well, and so kind of banking on them. And then Dakota Alton, Colton Wilson, and Jared Snow. So my three seniors are my big, and then we got Tyson Stilson, Cade Brazier. A lot of the same basketball players that helped out the basketball team this year, my athletes, again, for baseball.
Yeah, which is never a bad thing. I mean, I would assume that these kids have come in relative good shape, right? I mean, it's such a quick turnaround to get the season off and rolling. Are the kids in baseball shape?
Conditioning wise, yes. Throwing, we're working on getting there.
That's, again, so tough. I mean, you guys have tryouts just a couple of weeks ago, and now you're gearing up for action. One of the most difficult things about the baseball season is it's so compact. I mean, you guys play a lot of baseball in a very short period of time, which doesn't necessarily give you a lot of time to get these kids ready.
Right. And like I said, we've had a week to get ready, and we play tomorrow. And then we go to Mesquite this weekend, and conference games start next week. So it's, like you said, it's quick turnaround.
Well, let's talk about the makeup of the team. Start by the pitching staff, Coach. Especially in the 3A classification, pitching depth is going to be so key, especially once you get to that state tournament. What does the pitching rotation look like right now for this team?
Right now, it looks like Easton Gordon is our number one. Then we got Cade Brazier, number two, Logan Healy, Jace Collard, Dakota Alton. Any one of those guys could step in at any time. I feel we're pretty solid with our pitching staff for a 3A school. So we've got quite a few kids that can step up and throw and do well.
With that being said, how long do you throw Easton? I would assume he would get the start tomorrow. How long do you pitch him, and how often do you go to a pitching change in these non-region games, knowing you don't have very many of them?
Actually, we're not going to throw Easton tomorrow. We're going to save him for Mesquite. But we're going to, with a new pitch count that the state has implemented, it's going to be a learning experience for sure. But we're going to go on how well he feels and where we're at in the game, the situation.
How many starters do you have on this team, Coach, looking at it realistically?
Probably four.
I know there's been times where this Emory squad has been able to go to several different kids as far as relief work goes. Most years, I mean, every kid has to be called on to pitch, at least in some capacity at some point in time. How many pitchers does this team have?
I'd say about nine. Nine of them.
That's not a bad number. I mean, that's a pretty good number to have.
Yeah, and that's, most of our junior class could throw. Two of our seniors can throw. So,
again, we're being joined right now by Coach Rob Smith of the Emory Sport and Baseball team. Coach, offensively,
Emory last year at times looked very good offensively, at times not so much. I mean, you go back to the state tournament, it's always important to score runs in the state tournament, especially when pitching's getting a little deep. But at the same time, we're looking at games where last year, you know, falling to Summit Academy in the tournament 6-3, losing in league play to Gunnison 3-2 and 3-0. Offensively, how does this team look this year?
Good. We're still, like I said before, still early, so we're still working on, you know, the fundamentals and getting that squared away. But like you said, the kids that have played, they know. I like to play small ball. I think that'll help as well. So,
Gunnison is a team that we're familiar with. Again, no longer sharing the region with. Not a bad team to open up with. It's a team that typically has a lot of success in the baseball ranks. So right off of the bat, the schedule's pretty tough for this team.
Yeah, we got Gunnison tomorrow. Mesquite's usually a pretty good tournament, and then we start against Grand on next Tuesday.
Home game against Carbon on Monday. Is that still set to go on the schedule?
That's just a sophomore game, sophomore freshman game.
Oh, okay, right. Okay, fantastic. You guys will meet Carbon later on in the year, right? March 28th, I believe, is the date for the varsity, right?
Right.
Okay. Coach, let's talk about the region. Region 15, it's the first year that we get this region under the latest realignment. Grand, Manti, North San Pete, Richfield, San Juan, South Sevier. I know you're new to the program, but I'm sure you're well aware that all of those teams are always extremely competitive. It's a tough region, and you guys don't have a lot of time to prepare for it.
Right. Kind of like the basketball region, and anybody can win. Everybody's pretty good. The region, like you said, is good. They're all competitive. It's going to be a tough conference for sure.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Coach. And as far as who's going to be helping you in the dugout, I know it's been a while since we talked last. A refresher for those who maybe don't remember. What's the coaching staff look like for the team this year?
I got Dean Stilton as my assistant coach for the JV. And then Jay Stilton, which is Dean's brother, and Ryan Johansson will coach the younger kids.
And as far as the time that you guys have been able to spend together on the field, the weather, it seems, I guess it has cooperated somewhat, hasn't it?
Yeah, practice has been a little chilly, but the weather's been nice for the most part.
Coach, when you guys head to Mesquite this weekend, are we looking at, what, four games? Is that what that'll be?
Yeah, there's three round-robin games and then the tournament on Saturday, or a seeding. So four teams will get a game on Saturday.
So the varsity will essentially get 4 to 5 games before you guys jump into region play. So during that time, what are some of the things that you put a big emphasis on tomorrow against Gunnison and again this weekend against Mesquite? Some of the things you want the kids to really get acclimated to?
Mostly just the fundamentals, how we play together, and then working on pitching, throwing strikes, making the other team earn it.
Have you sensed some camaraderie with this team now that we're getting set for the season? Is that something that's going to take time to develop, or have you sensed that already?
I sense that already. Like I mentioned before, a lot of them played together already with basketball and last year. I think the camaraderie is good. Senior stepped up and took everybody to wingers last week. But I believe they're pretty tight-knit group.
You are the third manager in 3 years, which is kind of a crazy concept to think about, especially with a program that has had so much success as of late. For these kids who are now playing for their third coach in 3 years, has it been difficult for those kids, or you think baseball is one of those things where you kind of know it or you don't know it? I mean, how have the kids approached that?
I think they've come in with an open mind. Some coaches did stuff a little different. Other than that, it's been pretty smooth.
Well, it's definitely that time of the year, Coach, for baseball. I'm looking forward to it. I definitely appreciate you taking out the time to join us today and talk about a bit about the squad. Best of luck against Gunnison and in Mesquite this weekend, and hopefully we'll talk again soon, Coach.
All right, thank you.
Again, that's Rob Smith, manager of the Emory High School baseball team. Again, they'll travel on the road tomorrow to take on the Gunnison Bulldogs, and we'll continue to follow the baseball teams throughout the season. We've got a break for just a moment. When we return, I want to briefly talk about the NFL Combine. Who were some of the individuals that really helped their draft stock? Who hurt their draft stock? That's coming up next when we return here on Drive Time Sports.
News Talk KOAL's Jordan Buscarini covers all the pros and lots more, like high school and college teams.
Straight away three ball. God! Phillip Winston from the top of the key.
These are the sports that are closest to home. When you've got a guy like Jordan, you can cover it all. Drive Time Sports.
Here we go, here we go!
Weekdays from 4 to 5 on News Talk. 107.3 FM, 750 AM, KOAL.
My diesel truck is just not running right. Where do I go to get this thing fixed?
Landon's Diesel is where I go. They know diesel motors.
Yeah, I know they're good with big diesel motors, but mine's a pickup truck.
What kind of motor's in it?
All right, I get it. They can take care of my diesel motor truck no matter the size. What about my motorhome?
Once again, what kind of motor is in it? I'm telling you, if it has a diesel motor in it, take it to Landon's Diesel. They'll fix it right.
Landon's Diesel Service is located by the Price City Domes in South Price.
This is Donna Mathis, nurse practitioner with Gagin Family Medicine. Have you checked your blood pressure lately? High blood pressure is the most common reason for office visits for non-pregnant adults in the United States. If your blood pressure is consistently above 120 over 80, schedule an appointment with your primary care provider. Staying active, watching your weight, decreasing salt and fat in your diet, and avoiding tobacco use will help lower your blood pressure. Call Gagin Family Medicine today at 613-2200.
For over 50 years, News Talk KOAL's Barter Bar has helped listeners buy, sell, and trade from everyday common items to the unusual. You'll hear it on Barter Bar. Holding a yard sale? Looking for furniture? Or want to trade your car? Put it on Barter Bar, online and on air. Barter Bar, a Castle Country tradition. Weekday mornings at 9:30 on News Talk 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM KOAL.
Live from the KOAL newsroom in Price, Utah. It's Drive Time Sports on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Take that for data.
Yeah, it's one of those days where 1 hour is just not enough. Probably start talking about the NFL Combine. Probably talk about this for all week if we wanted to. Big winners, big losers at the Combine. You did mention Josh Allen earlier today. He was the best passer on the field this past weekend.
I thought of this.
Showed he could throw the deep ball. We knew that.
Yeah, we knew he could sling it.
But his accuracy, that's what stood out.
Josh Allen.
Now, if you talk about big winners at the Combine, and again, we don't have a whole lot of time to dive into this. Allen is a big winner. Does that immediately mean that Josh Rosen is a big loser at the Combine? And is this why guys like Sam Darnold say, you know what, I'm not going to throw?
Yeah, I think so. Josh Rosen struggled. So did Lamar Jackson throwing the ball. So that's why maybe Sam Darnold took that route not to throw.
Lamar Jackson
missed some throws,
did not run the 40. And that shocks me a little bit. I don't know if that has to do with the fact that Jackson has picked up a lot of steam as a potential receiver. A lot of scouts are saying he'd have to play receiver in the NFL. And so maybe he tried to stay away from the 40 time so people did not focus on the skill set that he has as a wide receiver. But one way that you could... I don't know, maybe this isn't true. I was going to say one of the ways you could counter a lackluster performance throwing the football would be to razzle and dazzle on the 40 time. But that probably works against him as well, saying he didn't have tremendous accuracy throwing the football, but he was blazing as far as his speed goes. Look, this guy's a receiver at the next level. Josh Rosen, to me, is the most ready quarterback that I have watched in college football in the last little while. I think he should be the first quarterback selected in this draft. But as far as the combine goes, and you look at the physical stature, Josh Allen seems to fit the bill. I mean, he seems to be the guy.
Picking up steam to be Cleveland's number one pick. If I was the Browns, I wouldn't go. That route, we talked about it in the open. I would absolutely try to get Barkley and Bradley Chubb somehow.
I would too. I think it's a fun storyline that's developing in Cleveland, and I think one of the ways that you could knock this draft out of the park, especially with Sacchi Brown no longer being the man in Cleveland, is you draft Barkley number one, you get Bradley Chubb at number four, you tab him alongside Myles Garrett. I think you have one of the most dynamic young rushing duos that we've seen in quite some time. It packs the same punch as J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. Remember the hype train around that? I think it's the same if you were to team up Garrett and Chubb. The difference is Nick Chubb in most years I think would be the number one pick in the draft. I think he's that good.
I think Cleveland needs to focus on the defensive end, especially in that division where they can put pressure on the quarterbacks. I think that's how Cleveland's going to get back to being Cleveland and trying to be respectful is on the defensive end of the football.
We're out of time on this edition of the show. I want to thank Coach Jeff Cincinnatus and Coach Rob Smith for talking some high school baseball. Again, that season gets off and rolling tomorrow. More on the local sports front coming up in the next few days. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We're out.
Serving all of eastern Utah, this is News Talk 107.3 FM and 750 AM. KOAL. Price.